is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of literacy. I'm Addie Wilson for George Mason University. For more than a decade now, literacy test scores have been on the decline. Some blame new technology, while others fault the school systems. Why Johnny can't read or write, but has a high school diploma, poses a dangerous threat to the reputation of American schools. To talk about the subject today, I have with me Donald Galea, a George Mason University professor and director of the Northern Virginia Writing Project, and Marion Moore, who is currently on leave of absence from Groton High School and is teaching a freshman composition course with the Writing Project. What has happened over the past 10 or, say, 15 years to cause a decline in reading and writing scores?
I think there's perhaps a misconception that literacy declined just in the last 15 years. I think before then, many people who went to colleges and went to universities were people who had already had a pretty strong education in the earlier years, and there were very few of them who were expected to be highly literate, and they were. But then in the middle 60s and through the 70s, there were large masses of people who were expected to be literate. And as a result, the test scores changed because the population that was taking the test changed.
In what way?
Well, I think many of the people who had never before thought about going to community college or to college started to think about going on for a degree in higher education. And those people then started to take the SAT tests. The SAT test is a test of measures the predictability of how a student will do in his freshman year in college. And before the 60s, many students who would have gone to high school would not have gone on to college, would not have taken those tests. There's another change that's going on, and that is that the tests have measured, over the years, have measured only, or basically, vocabulary and language ability on that level, whereas students from the 60s on started to learn language as it's used as a learning tool and as it's used as a revised, full-functioning communication tool. And that is still not being tested by the ETS, by the SAT scores.
Yeah, the tests themselves don't test writing. They are always machine-scored tests, and only, in fact, in the last couple of years has ETS been interested in testing actual writing samples, and the writing samples that they give are very short. They're 20-minute samples where students don't have a chance to revise and to work in a setting which would automatically help them write better. And so I think that the use of test scores as a way of measuring whether or not students can write well is maybe not the best way to figure it out. But I do think there were other things going on in the schools that may have contributed to students not writing as well. And certainly one of those had something to do with the fact that writing itself was not assigned as much as it might be. And I think that most teachers who were in secondary school were not themselves trained to teach writing. The people who are usually held responsible for it are the English teachers. And if you're an English major in college, even if you're going to be a teacher, what you learn how to do is to write an essay analyzing a piece of literature. You don't learn how to teach other students how to write. And so most of the people who are in the position of teaching writing themselves had had no training. And what they knew from their own sort of attempts at it. And I think that had a tremendous effect on what students were able to do.
So should writing, the teaching of writing, be separated from the English class?
Well, no, I don't think so. In fact, I suppose that what really should happen is that teaching of writing should happen in every class. And that's another thing that I think was needed changing in the public schools, was that not only did writing need to be taught and worked on, learned in English class, but that writing needed to be used in other classes, in science, in social studies, in math, where as a learning tool, and that it's a hard job teaching writing. You have a lot of papers to read and a lot of papers to grade, and if you can think of another way to test your students or another way for them to learn, that doesn't mean that you have to spend 2 hours at home at night reading those papers. You probably will do it. And so I think that the real answer is that writing needs to be taught in in all classes, or in as many as it's a can be a learning tool.
Dr. Gallaire, both of you all are involved in the Northern Virginia Writing Project. Could you tell us a little bit about that organization?
Yeah, it's a dissemination site of the Berkeley Bay Area Writing Project, and people around the country may know it better by that name rather than the other name. It was started in Berkeley in 1974 by James Gray, who modeled it on two basic principles. One is that teachers would come together in an institute and would teach each other how to teach writing, bring together the best teachers that were around. And a second thing is an in-service model, where those teachers would then turn around and become teachers of other teachers in in-service programs. We adopted that model in 1978. We ran our first institute that summer, and we've been going ever since then, holding summer institutes each summer. Marion is a member of the first summer institute, and a number of the teacher consultants from the first year have gone on to do some glorious and magnificent things, including research, as Marion is doing, including becoming experts in a recognized in a whole, as members of a group in the whole country who are excellent at teaching other teachers how to teach writing. And some of them have actually gone on to become writers, although that was never our major intent. So Carolyn Carrillo here at George Mason has become an excellent poet, a member of the first year.
I was reading how enthusiastic the teachers have become after leaving the writing projects, similar to Northern Virginia and the Bay Area. How do you motivate teachers to get into the spirit to teach writing?
Well, in the first place, the people who are chosen for the institute are chosen because they do like to teach writing and because they have some kind of expertise at it. It is a selective invitational institute, so that to begin with, we have people who care about the teaching of writing. But I think that the main thing that happens during the summer institute that makes people become more enthusiastic is that they begin to feel themselves as professionals, as people who know something about what they're doing. And for me, certainly, it was one of the first times, although I'd been teaching for quite a few years, that somebody was interested in what I thought about teaching, and there were other teachers who were willing to talk about the teaching writing for hour after hour after hour the way I was, and it was very exciting to be with them and to exchange ideas. And also, I think teaching is it may not seem that way because there are always so many people around, but it's actually kind of a lonely profession. Teachers are very separate from each other in most school systems, and the Institute provides them a chance to talk with each other and to share ideas. And that's a very heady experience. Yeah, and when you go back then into the classroom, you still have those friends to call up and say, guess what I did in class today? It really worked. And share ideas. And of course, the Institute has an ongoing program too. We don't just say goodbye at the end of the summer. We have Saturday meetings where the teachers get together again and do new presentations, share new ideas. We invite writing researchers to come and share their ideas, so that it is, you sort of join for life.
Like a mailing list.
Yes, and you never get off the mailing list.
Do you discuss problems that you have in the classroom of getting students motivated to write? What type of problems are there?
Well, I guess there are every kind of problem that there are students. I think for the most part that getting students to want to learn is not such a problem, at least in my experience. They generally do want to learn, but I think that many of them are very much afraid of writing, that for many students their experience with writing has been that they hand a paper in, which they have written once, and they get a good or maybe not so high grade on it and a note saying what was wrong with it, and then they're assigned another paper. And that progression doesn't really help a student learn to write, number one, but it also doesn't do much for their confidence, because what's happening to them over and over again is they're just being told, well, no, you didn't do it right that time. Why don't you try again, and let's see if next time by chance you'll hit on it. And what our teachers have begun to do is to do much more work with students during the writing process, teaching them to revise, helping them to work on their writing before they turn it in for a grade, so that they become more confident about it.
One of the secrets to that success, which shows up as enthusiasm, is that the teachers in the Institute themselves write. And so when they walk into the classroom, as Marion's describing, they're no longer afraid to assign writing. They're no longer shortcutting the writing process because they don't want to deal with the writing that comes back to them. And they're proud of their writings. The structure of the Institute is such that the teachers write on things, subjects that they're very interested in, and then they share it with their peers. It's the same process that we know works with all learners, that you have something that means something to you, and then you share it with somebody who gives you an honest response to it. It's that structure in the Institute which generates enthusiasm, and then when that same structure is brought into the classroom, students become just as enthusiastic about writing as the teachers have.
What's the population of the Institute? Is it high school teachers such as yourself, Marion, or is it from the elementary level? Where is a good point to start?
Well, it runs from kindergarten through university, and that actually was part of the original Bay Area design too, and something that I think is really important to it, because I was saying before that teachers frequently don't get a chance to share ideas with each other, and one of the most exciting things in the Institute was that exchange. I remember the first year there was a first grade teacher there who brought a few of her students as part of her presentation, and they sat in a circle and wrote and then shared their writings with us. And I know from my own experience, but I think also the other people who were there, that it was one of the most exciting experiences of the summer, that these were beginning writers in most senses of the word, and that we learned a great deal from each other about, well, a teacher might say, for example, 11th grade teachers say, well, I've been teaching my students, I really work hard on their run-on sentences. And the sixth grade teacher says, well, but I work hard on their run-on sentences. And the first grade teacher says, we work very hard on sentence structure. And we began to understand what the growth in writing was about when we began to share ideas with each other. And I think that was very important.
It broke down a lot of the stereotypes. I think we think that college teachers deal with a different creature in dealing with a college student. And yet that student is just 3 months older. And in many instances, those 3 months have been 3 months of forgetting, and they need reminding. And the writing problems that any writer confronts on that blank sheet of paper are almost identical from preschool to university or graduate school. And it was really refreshing to hear other teachers voice the same problems about their students that the college teachers that I've been working with for years were voicing about theirs.
So where does that leave us with the SAT scores and all that? Do you see an improvement coming because of the Institute, because teachers are learning to teach better?
I think one of the biggest improvements is that teachers are no longer living in despair about literacy. I think they have hope that things can change. I think the SAT scores are changing in some districts, and I think they'll continue to change. But I think the profession as a whole has improved because of the writing project. Ben Nelms from Missouri has written an article on new professionalism, and I think the profession itself has changed because of the way that the project runs.
Unfortunately, our time is just about up. This has been a very interesting subject, and we hope that we can continue it at some other point. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program produced by George Mason University. Program coordinator, Pat Ping. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. That's 703-323-2138. I'm Addie Wilson for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.